Hello, NBA fans. Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, regular on the show. Jack Manuel, how we doing, guys?
So, OTG stuff can't win the giveaway, yeah?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm out. See you guys.
Yeah, awesome giveaway. If you guys haven't been to the OTG Twitter yet, we are running a giveaway. It's not just a string bag. I don't want people to think it's just a string bag. There's stuff underneath the bag. And that's what we're also giving away. It's a ton of value. Takes 1,000 retweets and some follows, and you could possibly win it. And guess what? I retweeted it and followed, and I can't even win it. So you're already got a better chance of winning. So definitely get on that.
Exactly. You know, giving them a ton of free stuff. We're going to be doing giveaways during the playoffs too. So get on the bandwagon real quick. But as always, quick reminder, check out the pods and, you know, all the shows on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But I'm going to pass it over to Jack and Corey because we each are going to do our own segment today. Jack, get us started.
Now, we're going to start with a staple of JBT, as Mr. Busick likes to call it, the Busick Manuel scale. I'm assuming you guys listen to my podcast.
Correct.
You have a podcast?
Oh, okay, cool. This is going to be fun. I mean, it's a convoluted, complicated scale anyway. So basically, we rated on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and straight up fact of the likelihood of something happening or what we think in relation to a specific topic. So this one is very recent, literally tweeted it out like minutes ago through OTG Basketball. Kyrie's one-on-one battles following practice with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum show a turning of the tide of the chemistry in Boston.
Alternative fact.
Oh, Boston fans.
I think Twitter fact. I think there's a slight bit of credibility to it, but not a ton. Like, obviously, spending time with your teammates a little extra is going to provide some morale.
I think, though, the fact that he was, like, because that's where the real chemistry friction lies for me. And it's always with the young dudes. Kyrie's always like, I want the vets. I need these guys. And he's sort of taken himself and he's been, like, very solitary, it seems. Anyway, that's what the perception is. Whereas him playing one-on-one, you know, talking some trash to the media and stuff, being a little more friendly, a bit more jovial, I think that it's – I'm going to give it probably a Wikipedia fact. I'm a bit stronger on it because I think that this, to me, is what could bring Boston together more than anything because we know the talent. We know Gordon Hayward's playing a little bit better now, but I think chemistry is everything, and we've repeated that. I think I've repeated that on a live outlet before, so I'm really big on this, and especially because the fact it's Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. We saw that meme, the basically the iteration of the LeBron James meme where Kyrie was looking at Jason Tatum. So I think this is a good sign.
I think it's a good sign. You can't look at it as a negative in any way. I think it's definitely a positive.
My only worry with this team is the fact that we just get these roller coasters, right? It feels like one week everybody's kind of liking each other because they're winning games. And then when things start to go sour again, all of a sudden Kyrie's disengaged and not interested. So, like, for me, I just got to see a little bit more. That's why I gave an alternative fact.
They're a very bipolar team. Let's put it that way. But we'll stick with Kyrie Irving, and we're related to Damian Lillard as well. And this is, I think I stole this from somewhere. So it was probably a Blazers beat writer. But Damian Lillard, greater sign, Kyrie Irving, thoughts?
Oh, that's a Corey.
Top 50 will be coming out soon, by the way, and we will reveal all on our thoughts.
What's a false thing? What's the false
alternative fact?
You literally just said it.
I wanted to make sure because I have to like alternative fact in all caps. Like,
well, I think we should change. You know, he's definitely not your friend, Jack, if he doesn't listen to your show. So this title has to go to the trash.
I want to make sure I'm saying it right. I do. And it was funny. Actually, true story. This is that you'll appreciate this. The first two listens to the JBT pod, I actually wasn't a fan. And then I became a fan, and I actually enjoy the podcast a lot because it's humorous, and I enjoy the basketball content and the back and forth that you and Nick have. I'm actually a huge fan now, so don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Love the complicit. Wasn't a fan. Hated your podcast, but it took me two episodes.
So I'm here.
I met you in person when you were in the United States, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to like it now.
That's evil. No, alternative fact, all caps.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm agree with Corey on this one. I think Kyrie's just better than Dame. I don't know what it is. Like, Dame does a ton. he shoots a lot of bad shots, but I just feel like Kyrie does a better job of consistently driving inside a little bit more. And I think that's like my biggest hate on Dame is that, like, yeah, he knocks down all these jumpers, these fadeaways. I know Kyrie shoots plenty of them himself, but I just feel like Dame gets a little bit too jump shot happy.
And what I know this...
you go, Corey.
I was going to say, I know this season too, Kyrie Irving has been a much better defender than years past, whereas Damian Lillard still, I mean, obviously he's got Marcus Smart. I mean, the numbers showed it. The numbers show that Irving was in, like, the top percentile for point guards. I mean, this was also, like, a month ago, so it could have changed. But I'm guessing he's still up there for point guards, whereas Lillard doesn't get the toughest matchup. Normally, CJ McCollum guards the tougher guys. So I think Irving kind of has an edge on him defensively.
I would not say that. I'd say Lillard's a better defender. And I think only because Lillard has to do more because he's playing alongside CJ McCollum, where Kyrie Irving can hide a lot more because he plays along one of the best guard/versatile defenders in the league, Marcus Smart. And I think that he benefits from that in numbers and efficiency and whatever. So I actually think Lillard, and it's not obviously the biggest thing that we talk about when we talk about Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving. I think Damian Lillard's had probably a close to a better season. I think he goes far too under the radar. And I think in terms of, I think this was on some podcast, but in terms of how he's crafted his brand, it exceeds what Kyrie Irving is doing in terms of this really sporadic, erratic nature he sort of has with the media and how he sort of portrays himself. We love him. He has probably my favorite, you know, basketball shoes going around. I love the Kyries. But Damian Lillard, I think we don't give him enough credit. I think when he goes... when both their careers are over, you know, you can have probably a more in-depth discussion. Kyrie's obviously got that ring, obviously. It's a lot more nuanced discussion we could have, but, you know, we could probably spend, you know, another 30 minutes on it, but we will move on.
I think the postseason success is what really drives the difference where, obviously Kyrie's had a lockdown against Klay Thompson in the finals, and he still cooked him. We saw Dame have to go against Jrue Holiday, and he just locked him down, and his team got swept in the first round. So I think that's what kind of pushes me towards Kyrie is the postseason success.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Corey, I'm going to be nice to you because I put in a Pacers topic for you, mate. You're not being nice to me, but I'll kill you with kindness, my dude. This is via Bobby Marks. Bojan Bogdanovic is inching closer to being moved into the Tier B list of free agents with the likes of Chris Middleton. Does this go on the scale, my dudes?
This is a wiki fact.
Whoa! Of course it is. It's a Pacers player.
Yeah. Well, his shooting splits. He's having career shooting splits. He's shooting 49% from the field, 42% from three, and I think 81 or 82% from the free throw line. He's the first option for the Pacers offensively. On a nightly basis now, he's scoring 20-plus points. I haven't looked, but this last month he's got to be on a tear. I think he's definitely garnering that kind of interest. And he plays decent defense now. An issue before, especially when he came to the Pacers, I remember talking to Nick, and Nick was saying, like, Bogdanovich is one of those guys where if he hits his first shot, it's probably going to be a good offensive night. Defensively, you're not going to get a lot. And with the Pacers, he's really bought into the system. He's very good at switching. He's good at least using his body size to keep guys in front of him. So for me, I think that's a good take.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with like a Twitter fact, maybe closer to an alternative fact, because I think Middleton's on a different level because he's done it for a lot longer, and I'm a lot more confident in his game carrying over to a different team, where I think Bogdanovich has just found a really good fit with the Pacers and he feels at home. But I could see him being in a pressure situation and just collapsing, because like even when he was on the Nets, and obviously the Nets team wasn't good, but they wanted him to be the first option and he couldn't do it, and then he complained about the team not being as good when, you know, you're saying you want to be the guy, and it's just like he's kind of all over the place. I think the situation with the Pacers is ideal, where I think that's his best scenario. Moving somewhere else, I don't think he'll be as good.
Yeah, I still think that if we're terming it in tiers, I'll probably put him in tier C. Like, so, and he's probably, you know, at the top of that sort of tier. Like, and I don't know how much money you're going to throw at a guy who I think is close to 30, if not 30, very, very soon at the same time. And I don't think that he's going to obviously his game can age well in the sense that he's a great three-point shooter, but I think this is the peak of Bojan Bogdanovic, whereas I think Middleton has a longer sustainable peak for him. But I need to speak in the Pacers topic because I'm speaking to a Pacers fan. But we shall move on. And obviously, we got to get into some LeBron talk. It is an NBA podcast. Well, no NBA podcast or live show would be complete without LeBron talk. LeBron's legacy will be adversely affected by missing the playoffs this season.
That's you, Corey. You go first.
I know. That's a tough one. I'm going to say Twitter fact.
There we go.
Give it something. I mean, everyone's going to make a case, right? LeBron losing to the Dallas Mavericks, LeBron missing the playoffs at this point of his career, the move to LA. So, I mean, this is going to fit into the narrative of him being less great than Jordan. So it's going to affect his legacy to some of those. To us, who I think are pretty smart basketball guys, this is kind of just like a blimp. This is year 16. He was in the finals for 8 straight years. He's got the MVPs. He's got the 3 titles. So for me, this isn't that big of a deal, but I can definitely see this being that kind of Twitter fact.
I think, like, depending on what happens the following seasons is really going to decide for me. Like, if he goes to LA and he really doesn't do much of anything, and, like, the best case scenario is he gets, like, knocked out in the second round 1 year, like, that's going to hurt his legacy. Like, the decision to go to the Lakers, personally, I don't think was the best one to do this year, or I think he should have signed a 1 year deal or the 1+1 like he's been doing. So I'll go with Corey and say a Twitter fact. Like, there's a chance it's going to look ugly. Like, it's going to look ugly when you look through all the seasons. He didn't make the playoffs. Especially, it's not like the West is, like, crazy good where all these amazing teams, like, the Clippers aren't amazing. The Spurs aren't amazing. Like, they could definitely get in the playoffs. It was his decision to sign with the Lakers, and I think that's looking bad. And he believed in Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, and it looks like they just did a terrible job of creating a team to support LeBron.
Yeah, and I think in that sort of sense as well, we compare, he said it himself, he compares him to the ghost that he's chasing. But, like, MJ didn't make it the playoffs a couple of times either. And
especially with the Wizards.
That doesn't adversely affect his narrative. But obviously, we're still seeing LeBron in his semi-prime. Obviously, I think we actually spoke about that at length on the Lakers preview, and that was a sort of ending topic and something we could probably bring back up at some stage in the future. But I don't think it does necessarily. So I'll probably go Twitter fact as well, because it can. But I don't think right now it does. I think that there's been a lot of circumstances out of his control. Health is just so important. You know, LeBron James having his first major injury, and it wasn't even that serious, you know, given the grand scheme of it. But LeBron, we hope he gets himself. I wanted to see him play 70 games for the rest and, you know, keep chasing the ghost and maybe win one more ring or play with Bronny. You know, that's what he's sort of wants to win and sort of achieve before it all ends. But we'll change tack to my final one, to another LA team. The Clippers will attract better free agents than the Lakers in this upcoming free agency period. Forecasting for me, lads.
See, this is tough because this is like, I have like this conspiracy, well, not conspiracy theory, but like if the Lakers don't get anybody, then we know that people don't want to play with LeBron James. I'm going to say it's a Twitter fact. I'm not ready to go all in on it. So I'm going to say it's a Twitter fact because I think the Clippers have definitely put themselves in a better position as the Lakers. They have less star power for a star to compete with. So, you know, if you're going to the Clippers, you're going to be the guy. Obviously, there's no toxic environment rumors around. I mean, Zubac left and went to the Clippers, and he said, like, everybody plays hard every night. Everybody's engaged. Everybody actually wants to play basketball. And it's just like, wow, you were playing with LeBron, and there was high expectations. That's not a good quote to have coming out of the Lakers. So I'm going to say Twitter fact.
I'm going to go with Wiki fact. I think you look at the Clippers, they can bring two guys in. So it's like, hey, you know, Kawhi, you want to play with Jimmy Butler, or, hey, Kyrie, you want to play with KD. We'll bring you both in. And like Corey's saying, they have a lot of role players on that team that are young, controllable contracts. I like the situation with the Clippers better. And I think, like, there is some thoughts out there with playing with LeBron. It's like, okay, you're always going to kind of get blamed for this, or a supporting cast isn't good enough. So I kind of am rolling with the Clippers. I think they'll get all the meetings they need to have. And I don't really see KD or Kawhi signing with the Lakers, where I could see KD or Kawhi signing with the Clippers.
Yeah, I think if you're ranking the free agents out there right now, the Lakers have Anthony Davis, and then, you know, probably those slightly lesser tier, those A-minus tiers, and like Kemba Walker and whoever else. DeMarcus Cousins, those sort of guys. Whereas the Clippers have been rumored with Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. And who knows, they could get on the Anthony Davis sweepstakes as well. Kyrie Irving could want to join up with KD in LA rather than in New York. We'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I think I'll probably give it a wiki as well, just because of the sheer numbers and the sheer rumors out right now. And I don't think what the Clippers are doing right now is similar to what the Nets are doing, in the sense that they're establishing a narrative for themselves that sort of sets them apart from the other team. The Knicks may have similar sort of cap space and whatever, but if you want to get into a better environment and enjoy playing your basketball, because that seems to be the key thing that KD, Kyrie especially, are saying, just want to hoop. So if you just want to hoop and have the best fun doing it, probably going to have more of a fun time doing it in a situation like Brooklyn, where there's, yes, you've still got the bright lights of New York, and yes, and the same with the Clippers, you still got the bright lights and blah, blah, blah of LA, but you're doing it with less sort of, well, obviously they're going to get it because they draw it to themselves, but it's not the glitz and glamour. So I think that we're not talking about it enough, which is why I thought I had to bring it up as my last music, Manuel.
Can I switch my mind to Wiki fact?
Sure.
Because
can't change it, Corey, but I'm going to allow you because I'm going to be friendly to you today.
You made a good point about the Clippers, and I just want to nail this point home, is the fact that, too, like, if you're looking at the infrastructure, Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson really haven't shown they can do anything in building a team, whereas Jerry West has already, I think, done a solid job. Doc Rivers is – I mean, we already know him as an established head coach, and obviously I think he demands a different type of stuff out of his players, whereas I don't think guys necessarily buy into Luke Walton as they do for a Doc Rivers. So I think the infrastructure for the Clippers is also something that kind of pushes them well above the Lakers after this last offseason, the current year.
And one other thing that Jack said that really stuck out is like, it's more about basketball with the Nets and the Clippers than with the Lakers and the Knicks. It's just like a little bit of like drama.
Showtime.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a little bit more extra hype with it, where these guys kind of just want to be the best basketball players they can be.
Sure. So it's my turn, right?
Correct.
All right. So we're going to do a little bit of start, bench, cut. These are hard, and I'm not going to give my insight on any of these because I'm not going to be the guy to do that. So first up, bench, start, cut. Or start, bench, cut. Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum, wow, chuck him in there. I need to change my mindset because, again, this is a JBT thing where we do drop, bench, start. So start, bench, cut is a very similar thing, but I think the DBS has a better ring to it. You could have just told me you're still in the segment, mate, just changing the name. Need to copyright that ish.
I don't listen to your pod, remember? I didn't listen.
Funny dude. I think I'm going to start Jason Tatum, I'm going to bench Luka, and I'm going to cut Trae Young.
I think I'm going to start Luka, I'm going to bench Jason Tatum, and I'm going to cut Trae Young.
I don't understand. Like, do you think, Nick, that Luka Doncic has a higher ceiling, higher potential, and he's a franchise guy in comparison to like Jason Tatum? Is that why you had him above?
I always think of, like, you know this, Jack, that guys who make their teammates better always get a higher nod in my book, and I think Luka's a guy who's going to get the best out of guys, where Jason Tatum's playmaking just hasn't really taken that level yet. He's fitting more into that Kobe mold where, you know, he's running those mid-range ISO, shooting those step backs. I think defensively he has a higher ceiling and probably is a two-way player, but I think Luka could be the guy that, like, truly leads your team, almost like similar to like a Jason Kidd type vibe, except a better score.
I'm going to give my list anyways. I'll give my list.
He says he's not going to give it all.
You guys didn't have mine. I have start Luka, bench Trey, cut Tatum.
Ooh.
Cut? You have gone from Trae Young will be out of the league in 7 years to he is better than Jason Tatum.
You didn't hear the latest LA yet. He was giving him a Steph Curry light comparison almost.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. I'm here. I'm fixing myself up. I'm on a press tour. I'm going on the notice.
Put the AirPods on.
Yeah, I got to get the AirPods back in.
Trey, we got your latest hype beast right here.
Next up, start, bench, cut. James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis.
I'm starting Giannis, I'm benching Harden, and I'm dropping Anthony Davis because he's dropping himself already.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jack. I'm going to go with Jack because James Harden is hitting like a different level, where AD this year hasn't ascended his game to another level. Yes, stats might look nice, but overall his team wasn't taking his game to another level, where James Harden had to literally carry the Rockets at a point where Capella and Chris Paul were down and they were playing like trash. We know the streak that he went on, so I like that. And obviously, Antetokounmpo, we don't got to talk about him. Right. He's just a monster.
I had the same exact three as you guys. Now, the last four of these are going to get harder. Or the last five, I should say. Steven Adams, Clint Capella, Al Horford.
Oh, that is hard. That is truly hard.
One quick question. Sorry to cut you off, Jack. Is this for like long-term view or is this for like right-now view?
See, this is the thing about it. Okay, I'll explain.
I didn't put context around this. These are just...
Good, Corey. Good. You don't put context around it. You put your own context around it to give the reasons. You know, when Nick and I have debated about it before, it's sort of like you debate right now and then you debate future sort of thing. Like we were sort of saying with Doncic and Tatum. Like, I think Tatum can be like, you know, a possible MVP contender, and Doncic is amazing, but I don't think he has the ceiling that Tatum does impact in the leagues. I think, you know, you can base it off this season or whatever, but Adams, Capella, Horford. This is super duper hard. I will probably go start Al Horford, bench Steven Adams, and drop or cut. I'm thinking in my own bloody terms, and cut Clint Capela.
Yeah, I think Al Horford's still the best one right now, so I would start him. The Capela one's a little interesting. I think Steven Adams pretty much does mostly what he does. The only thing that probably Capela's better at is like going out in the perimeter and defending guys, where Adams, you know, is still obviously not as fast, but he's a better screen setter, I would say. He's also obviously more physical and a better rebounder. So I'd agree with Jack on that.
So I had start Adams, bench Capela, and cut Horford.
What is, dude? You realize we have you seen our top 50 list where we had a mini preview where we had Al Horford in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking.
But for this, but like my context for all of these are different. Like my context for this was like long term, not the season based.
Yeah. Okay.
Because like our top 50 list is based on the right now. This for these, I was looking at these like long term. Like I think Trae Young and Luka might be better than Tatum long term right now. That's just how I feel. And I think Harden and Antetokounmpo at this point I think are better than Davis long term. So for me, my context was looking like big picture, whereas our top 50 list is based on simply this year.
I think long term, I would probably argue Capela will end up probably being the best. He's the youngest. He's, you know, improved every single year. You know, Horford's the oldest out of all of them, and Steven Adams, there just really isn't a ton for him to improve his game.
Right,
and I disagree with the Harden Davis take in terms of long term. Davis is going to be. We've spoken about this in person.
I'm not sold on him being healthy though. Like that's my one. That's my one concern.
I think the health gets overblown. Like he plays like 70 games ish a year, and all he has never had any lingering long term injuries. Like, I think you can make more of an argument for a guy like Kyrie Irving who's had knee issues and stuff.
The only lingering injury that Anthony Davis has had is his shoulder's been popped out like multiple times.
Yeah, and but at the same time, that is an easier remedy than for lingering knee issues. Like I think, you know, because if we're just talking anatomically, just so to speak.
Jack's a biology teacher. Right. No, I'm just
kidding. Next up, D'Angelo Russell, Kemba Walker, Kyle Lowry.
Oh, I'm going to do a Nick thing and deflect to him.
Okay, I'm going to start D'Lo. I'm going to bench Kyle, and I'm going to drop Kyle Lowry, and I'm going to bench Kemba because you're talking injury. Kyle Lowry, like, he's not going to play 80 games. His contract's terrible. D'Angelo Russell's going to get better. Remember, he's only 23. Kemba Walker, I still think he's going to get better. And I just think Lowry, like, he's obviously a huge impact player, but he's not playing a ton of games. Like, if you really needed to depend on him, would he be able to play 70 games and carry your franchise?
Not right now. No, obviously not. Let's make sure that there's no Nets fans watching or ever watching, but I'm starting Kemba Walker. I'm benching D'Angelo Russell and I'm cutting Kyle Lowry. But I will preface that with that I think Kyle Lowry can have the most impact on both sides of the floor. He's easily the best defender out of these guys.
The best two-way for sure.
Yeah. Easily. And I think it gets overblown, his postseason sort of failures. I think he's actually been pretty good in the last sort of, especially last season. And I think he has a chance to sort of prove that again. And I think Kemba Walker.
Kemba's probably better, but I'm going to straight up say that I'm just being biased here. But I just like D'Lo because he's younger.
Yeah, and I think I honestly do think as well. I think Kemba Walker is just a better player right now. And like you guys debated as well in terms of like, you know, the top 10 sort of rankings of point guards. D'Lo's right there. I think this postseason will dictate where D'Angelo Russell really does rank and he sort of solidifies his sort of future status going forward because Kemba Walker is at his peak. This is the highest he will get. He's not going to get any better. That's not to say that he can't sustain this, whereas we don't know what D'Angelo Russell is. Like, if you throw Kyrie Irving in there, that's been a huge debate on sort of just Twitter, Nets, Twitter, and everywhere. And I think Bill Simmons even said that he would rather have D'Angelo Russell, or it's a question, he'd rather have D'Angelo Russell, and you tweeted out, Nick, than Kyrie Irving going forward just because of age and, you know, going forward.
Yeah, I have D'Lo, start D'Lo, bench Kemba, cut Lowry for the pretty much the same reason as Nick. D'Lo's a little bit younger. I like what Kemba has, and Lowry's a little bit up there, banged up a lot. Next up, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George.
Oh, my God.
Jack, you're not getting out of this one. You're going first.
Sure. I will start LeBron James. I will bench Kevin Durant, and I will drop cut. It's the same word. They're synonyms.
Yes.
Paul George.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if we're basing it off just purely this season, you could almost flip it, But if we're looking at from like the big picture, I think LeBron is still amazing. And, you know, we're not going to get to see him in the postseason, so it's easy to forget what he does in the postseason, but he literally can win games on his own. KD can do that probably too.
It was the same for me as well for this LeBron, Durant, PG. Now, the next one, two guys are the same, had to take out LeBron. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Kevin Durant. I figured everyone was going to put LeBron James first.
Yeah, I'll put Kevin Durant as a starter. I will bench Paul George, and I will drop slash cut Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh, I'm a big Kawhi guy, so I can't cut him. I'll probably cut Paul George in this situation. If it was based off this season, then I might cut Kawhi. But he's also still kind of getting his way back from injury. He's only played 1 year in the Raptors, where Paul George and Kevin Durant have both played multiple years with their squad. But I think Durant is definitely the starter here, where I think the debate is where who you're benching.
Yeah, I had Durant. George,
I was just going to say, Corey, has Paul George exceeded Kawhi Leonard as the best two-way player in the game right now?
This season he's been better, but is he going to do this offensively every single year? Like, It kind of, he's hit his peak. It kind of almost feels like an outlier. Like, I don't know if Paul George is going to do this again next year.
And I'm also kind of looking forward to playoffs for especially like these two guys. Obviously, Paul George coming off the rough offseason, playoff P failing. And then Kawhi, I think, was it last week or the week before, had a post game quote
after
saying, like,
it's all about the winner. Yeah.
Right. Saying all he cares about is the playoffs. Like, this is what it's all about. So I want to know if maybe he gets another level. Obviously, he's missed a lot of time. They've been really cautious with him coming back this year. But I had the same guys, and I cut Kawhi, though. I think Paul George for this season base. My context for all of these are so different. That's shitty. Lastly, Pascal Siakam, Domantas Sabonis, Montrezl Harrell.
Pascal Siakam starting.
Careful.
All right. Geez.
Siakam definitely starts because he just has the most to his skill set.
Yeah, and in a much more valuable position. Domantas Sabonis and Montrezl Harrell. It depends on what you value, because it's like you know what? I'm going to – just to piss Corey off, I'm going to bench Montrezl and I'm going to cut Domantas Sabonis.
This is tough. Like, Sabonis is, like, an extremely efficient player. The only thing that I think, like, Harrell has on him is he just has, like, an extra gear of hustle. Like, he just will, like, die for the balls. But I think Sabonis is probably a little bit more skilled. Like, he has more of a skill set, not just layups. Like, he can hit that in-between game, that mid-range a little bit too. This is tough.
What do you value more in, like, a big man? And what impacts more on winning games for a big man? For me, that's what Montrez does. I don't doubt that Domantas Sabonis is probably far more tremendously skilled. But I think Montrez's hustle, and like there were times early in the season where I remember tweeting out that Montrezl Harrell is the most important Clippers player. Like, and this was when Tobias Harris was on the team. So I think if you put them against the wall and, like, you know, we're doing an NBA GM sort of thing, and like you asked me to pick a guy to put on my team as a sort of backup big, it's going to be Montrezl probably.
Yeah, I think he fits the role as a backup big better. And I don't think necessarily you're looking to get your bigs a ton of touches depending on the offense you're running. So Jack convinced me to go with Harrell.
All right, well, you guys are both dead to me, so we'll move on. Nick, what you got?
Okay, so that's the end of that. We're going to do, for me, the all-underrated team. You know, we're going to go through a team. You're each going to have our own of guys that we think are underrated. You know, I'll make it easy on you. You know, we'll go with two guards and three/forward/bigs, whatever you want to call them. So who wants first?
Corey can go first, because I literally forgot about this, but I have two guys in my head already. Let me just
guess who hates me and who's being mean to me, Jack. So that's cool.
All underrated team.
Rotation here.
I'm not a good friend.
This is the only question I have with this. How big is it?
It can be any type of player. It can be
as
underrated.
As long as he's underrated.
Yeah. I mean, you could think, you know, like some guys are underrated and a couple people bring them up. But like overall in the big scheme of things, he's underrated, or you just think he doesn't get enough love.
All right. Does he have to be healthy? The last question.
I mean, yeah, he has to play this season. Like, it's based off guys mostly, like, this year. So it's not like...
Well, like, he's played this year, but he missed him. Like, Lonzo Ball, I wanted him on my list.
God damn, Corey, you're a Lonzo guy now, too. What is this?
Let me live my life, damn it. People change. All right, so my all-underrated...
Yeah, Lonzo can play. Like, he played, like, 40 games at least this year, right?
Yeah. I would hope more than that. But, all right, so I have Lonzo, Marcus Smart, Otto Porter Jr., Domantas Sabonis was my four. Screw you guys. And then five would be Steven Adams. That was my, like, all underrated team. But yeah, I didn't like base it on like.
I think Marcus Smart though probably. I don't know if he'd fit the underrated thing because he gets his fair share of love now. What do you think, Jack?
I have four players currently, and I'm still thinking of my center. So I'll go through them and then just spitball a little bit with you guys. I got Mike Conley as the point guard. I got Joe Harris as the shooting guard and as the small forward. And no, and at the small center, forward. I reckon he could do it. All right, he's a strong dude. I got another Harris. I got Tobias Harris as my three, Blake Griffin as my four, and my five. I'm still thinking of. I like Steven Adams. He's a favorite of mine. But I'm not sure. Like maybe I could do. Who am I trying to think?
Can I change my two guard while Jack thinks?
Yes.
Yeah, you go.
Jeremy Lamb instead of Marcus Smart.
I like that. Lamb's been like a straight bucket getter. Like,
yeah,
I've watched him a couple times this year, and he hasn't missed a shot in like a whole half. The only criticism I have of his game is that like he'll fall out of the game. Like I was watching a game, I think it was last weekend against like Portland. He put up like 20 in the first half, and then the second half he had like 5 points.
Yeah,
but I like him. I think he. Prove he's a good, he's the ideal like kind of six man like bench scorer type.
Definitely.
And I'm actually, I came up with it because I'm just thinking literally through the list of teams. We got Maxi Kleber.
Okay.
Fine.
Ooh. Yeah, he definitely had a good start to the season. I watched him the other night. I wasn't as impressed as I was the first time, but Kleber is definitely a solid bench guy for them. So I'm rolling.
In terms of being genuinely underrated there, I think the only genuinely underrated guy there is probably Mike. Even Mike Conley gets credit, but like, he's going to go Harris down as
– dude.
yeah, but like
– he got a little hype for the three-point contest, but it's all about his three-point shot where you and I know, and Corey knows a little bit too because he watched the Nets decent amount, that like he does way more than just shoot threes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his ability to get to the rim is extremely underrated.
He's improved as a passer this year. Like he's definitely improved in terms of like passing inside the Jared Allen. All right, yeah, I guess
– and I think you go, Nick.
All right, I got Drew Holiday. Obviously, he's averaging over 20 a game, 7 assists, elite defense. Buddy Hield, who I feel like no one's really talking about, but he's like took a major jump this year, shooting 44% from three. Our guy, Jack Damari Carroll, who just does all the little things on a regular basis. Thad Young, Corey's guy. I feel like he's just like the perfect glue guy. I feel like he's a guy who actually does a pretty good job of guarding Antetokounmpo. Like not many guys.
He's known to actually be one of the better defenders in the league. I know that they were talking about that a lot last night on the broadcast.
So, and then obviously the same guys. I didn't go with a center. I went with Blake Griffin instead. If I had two other guys, if I needed to put in a center, I think Nurkic has probably improved a lot. And I've kind of hated on him in the past. I think he's better than I initially anticipated. And then just like another bench guy to shout out Grant, like if I was adding to my bench.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's nice.
Three-point shot improvement has been crucial for OKC, and no one's really talked about it a ton.
He'd be so good on the Nets. I would love him.
Yeah. But any other thoughts on underrated guys, fellas? Or do you guys hate my list, like it, or no?
Well, we have two of the same
Your
players.
List has better talent. And, I kind of like try to think of like other guy. I use the other guys as kind of like my basis when I did this. And I got Drew Holiday was a name I crossed out and put Lonzo because I thought Drew Holiday's name has kind of gotten more traction since Anthony Davis went down. But your list is a really good underrated list. I'm not gonna lie.
I'll also say that there will be Damari Carroll will be coming out in another guy's piece from one of our OTG writers very soon. And I'll push back Corey as I've probably done all of this episode. Lonzo Ball's not underrated. I don't think he's done enough to be genuinely rated. Like
everyone's
just like losing.
Depends on we're asking NBA Twitter or Lakers Twitter, because Lakers Twitter thinks this seemed to think if he was healthy, the Lakers would be a four seed.
Please.
If Drew Holiday's underrated, if Blake Griffin's underrated, then Lonzo Ball is slightly underrated.
What has Lonzo Ball done in his year and like 80 games or so of NBA career to validate being underrated? Like he shoots worse from three from the free throw line than DeAndre Jordan shoots from the free throw line. Like he is like trash. Not okay. He's nice trash. He's like compost. He's not very good. I don't.
He's manure. Noise. Is that what you're trying to tell me? He's manure.
Yeah, like, he's like that nice sort of fertilizer.
Yeah, I don't think Lonzo's bad, but I do think there's like a little bit of overhype with him, like in terms of a savior. Like defensively, he's done a lot. He's like a perfect little glue guy, but I like to see more of him. I think my argument for like Drew Holiday and Blake is like, yeah, people look at them as like all-stars, but Blake's back to being a top five like power forward. Like he's really good. The Pistons have been like arguably maybe even the best team in like the last month of the NBA. And Drew Holiday
would have been amazing.
Like, I was still surprised, and when we did guess the stat line, that Drew Holiday's averaging like 7-8 assists. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
You know, he's definitely had a good year. That's I'll lay back on Alonzo. I put Alonzo because I had Drew Holiday. I thought Drew Holiday's name was too big. So
come up with better names next time.
All right, guys. We do have to talk about your top 50 list that just recently dropped on OTGBasketball.com. So we have, what, 50 through
31.
Through 31 up. So you guys want me to give my critiques on it or just go? I'm going to go through the list, and then we can kind of talk about anyone that maybe you want to change or you change your mind on. So okay. I'll go from 50 up. So we got Tatum, Capella, John Collins, Dinwiddie, Gallinari, Drummond, Richardson, Jamal Murray, Miles Turner, Devin Booker, Luka, Conley, CP3, De'Aaron Fox, Mitchell, Eric Bledsoe, D'Angelo Russell, Al Horford, Chris Middleton, Nikola Vucevic, and CJ McCollum.
Yep, that sounds so far.
That sounds about right.
So any guys right off the bat that you would want to change? Obviously, I know you guys started working on this list almost like, what, pre-All-Star break?
Yeah. I know that a couple names we've mentioned. I mean, like, I actually the other day I made a list of guys that we left off the list. I know, like, Trae Young is a guy who I think next time we do this installment will be in the top 50. There is more guys that Marc Gasol could possibly make a case depending on how the rest of this season turns out. I know Spencer Dinwiddie is like a question mark. Is John Collins too high? That's a question mark. I only got like three guys that I think are questionable to be taken off. Kuzma is a guy who could be fighting back on this list too. We didn't have Brandon Ingram on this list either, and he's been playing on fire since the All-Star break. Jack, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think for me, the guys that you mentioned could easily sink into that sort of top 50 sort of range. You know, I remember in our preseason sort of rankings, we had guys like Otto Porter, these sort of guys who could sneak in, you know. But at the same time, that sort of lesser range, you know, you could throw a dice. And it depends on form. It depends on consistency. It depends on production, injury, all of that sort of thing. And we base it mostly off this season, taking in, you know, into consideration other sort of factors. But I think around that sort of 50 to 40 range, we're pretty much on the mark. You know, we've had some, you know, dispute with it and such, but, you know, I think for the most part, it's a pretty accurate list.
Yeah, I think the only guy you'd probably look to add would be like Trae Young, and some of that is just his recent play of like hitting a new level. And Brandon Ingram, I think there's like an argument, but he really hasn't played that well all season. It's been more of like the latest stretch for him.
Right. And then, like, I mean, also looking at like Chicago Bull guys, Otto Porter Jr. and Zach LaVine, some people can make a case for LaVine, obviously the buzzer beater the other night and his recent tear as well. I mean, most of the season he's had arguably career year.
He was like most improved at this. Like, everyone was like, he's like got most improved on lock, right. But he couldn't maintain the consistency. And I think that's one thing that we've sort of valued. Like, when John Collins got back, he was immediately like fringe all-star. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's like fringe all-star. You know, Charles Barkley had him as an all-star. And, you know, Clint Capella, despite his health, is one of the better sort of, you know, we've talked about him, one of the better guards.
My guy, Jack, you're having a nosebleed, brother.
I know. I'm going to go. But give me like 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Hi, Jack. We'll probably be wrapped up by then, so you're good. Poor Jack. That's what happens when you talk to Corey for more than an hour. No.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jack, funny. You missed the joke. I said that's what happens when you talk to Corey for more than an hour. But, yeah, I think most of the list is really good. I mean, you could always flip-flop guys. I think, you know, the play of players changes from week to week. So different guys, different stuff. So overall, I think the list is great. Obviously, check out the rest of the list. It's going to be on OTG Basketball probably the course of the next week, correct?
By the end of the weekend, we will have 30 through 21 up.
The pressure's on. And if it's not done by next week, these guys are never coming on a pod again. But all right, that wraps it up. As always, pleasure talking hoops with Corey and Jack. Check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Guys, shout out your Twitter handle.
At the JMNJBT, hashtag Corey gives me nosebleeds.
Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops, KWAL Hoops. Jack, I love you.
And just quick shout out at OTG Basketball for the giveaway. Like we said, giving away a ton of stuff. All you got to do is retweet and follow over $100 worth of NBA gear for free. And that wraps it up. Go ahead, Corey.
Be sure to check out, too, the Brooklyn Buzz, Just Ball Things as well. and Full Access Hoops, all three of our podcasts. Peace out, Knuckleheads.
Peace.